we're going to spend some time in the Word, and we're going to go to start off with in Timothy. 2 Timothy. Our fellowship on New Year's Day, I said we'd start a little series of teachings, short, on lessons in living. And basically, just teachings from God's Word of how or what to apply from God's Word that would allow us to live a wonderful, wonderful life that God's Word promises. And God said in the manifestations today, you know, to know His Word for life. You know, he's got a lot, there's a lot that we can know and apply. And certain things in God's Word are, if we apply them in our day-to-day living, just makes life wonderful, just terrific. And so the first one we went over was, correct me if I'm wrong, but the biggest thing I think that from God's Word that we can do to really apply God's Word to daily life is to love God, to love Him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, simply to love Him, to enjoy Him, and to enjoy that relationship. And what can top that? You know, if we do that, so many other things just fall in line. But to love God, and of course, to love Him, we need to know a little bit about Him. Like if you were having somebody over for dinner, and you wanted to give them something they like, which would be a good thing to do, if you didn't know what they like, you'd try to somehow find out. Either ask the person directly, or ask somebody else that knows them, and say, you know, what do they like or dislike? Because you want to bless them. So if we know nothing about God Almighty, it's going to be a little difficult to love Him. Or any of the other things in God's Word. So the next thing we're going to look at is a great thing that we need to do in learning, you know, how to live life, is that we need to learn to know what does God's Word say to be able to apply it. Can't apply something you don't know about. You ever ask somebody for help on how to use a phone or a computer? If you don't know, you don't know. You got to ask. So if we don't know what God's Word says, we're going to have a little trouble applying it into our daily living. So basically what we need to do is read and study God's Word to learn what does it say so we can apply it. And a very commonly known scripture to us is 2 Timothy 2:15. Most of us, I'm sure, could quote it forwards and backwards, but we'll read it. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We're to study it. We're to work it. Let's go to chapter 3. We're in the neighborhood. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That's a good thing to know. It's profitable for these things. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly perfected, furnished should be perfected unto all good works. The Bible's not a novel. It's not a history book. It contains history. It is readable. But it's not just like a literary work, like Shakespeare, where people will study Shakespeare for his literary works. It's got great things in it, literature-wise. But in truth, it's God's Word. That's what it is. It's not just, it's a fun book to read, you know. You can read a lot, get a lot of history about the Judean culture or history, but it's the Bible. It's God's Word. So it's not just your regular book. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's interesting, the two books of Timothy are dealing with leadership. They were written to Timothy. He was leading God's people. And there's a lot recorded concerning working the Word, or thinking the Word, or studying the Word. It's part of you know, what a leader needs to do if he's going to lead with truth, got to know what it says. Chapter 4, verse 15. Says, "Meditate or think upon these things. give thyself wholly to them. And it's referring to overall the word of God listed in chapter verse 12. One of them being the word. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. The word save is a word to make whole. We get saved by confessing Jesus as our Lord, believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead. After that, it's always wholeness. It's more and more wholeness to our lives. Our lives match what the scriptures say. And that's what the exhortation to Timothy is. Stick your head in the word and keep your head in the word, and your wholeness is going to show up to everybody. You'll be a healthy thumb. It'll be really obvious. When you see somebody who's really sick, you can say, sometimes it's very obvious, a person's really sick. Really got some. But what about when somebody's really whole? Same thing. Well, that person's really whole. it's a healthy person. So let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We need to read and study God's word to know what it is from God's word we're to apply. Read and study it. Learn it. Jesus Christ did that as a youth. Did it all through his life. But as a youth, his mom and dad had told him he was the Son of God. He was the Redeemer, the Savior. And he needed to know what it was that he was to do. So he started early on, starting to study and work. And he worked the scriptures. And as a 12-year-old, he went to the temple. And in verse 46, he's trying to learn. He had questions. He wanted to know certain things, so he's asking the doctors of the law about it. It says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Isn't that something? So he's working the word in his life. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. He was about his father's business. Let's go to Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. So we want to learn what God's word says so we can apply it. It's a great thing to do. As obvious as it is, it's something that's often forsaken. Not really, how much time do we spend studying the word and reading it or listening to teachings or thinking about what it says compared to everything else that goes on? Here's a great scripture showing Ezra, who was a believer that helped God's people in a big way. Verse 10, it says, for Ezra, chapter 7, verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. That's a great example to us, that we can prepare our hearts to want to learn and to learn, to study and to think about it. It doesn't happen on its own. I remember when I first started getting involved with the Word, I went to fellowship every day, and then when I'm at college and I moved back here for the summer as a college student, and the first 2 weeks I had put all my books that I had on a bookshelf, and I'm thinking, I'm going to read these every day and study. And almost 2 weeks went by, and I noticed I hadn't been picking the books up off the shelf there and reading. And I said, that's not good. So I started, but life was just busy, and I thought, I don't want to start forgetting so quickly. I was so thrilled about what I was learning. So I just had to make a determination. Okay, I'm going to just start making up my mind. I'm going to not let the day control me to a point where I'm not studying or reading or thinking about it. So So anyway, let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. So we want to be able to learn God's word. The next thing, once we have a knowledge of God's word, that learn what it says, the next thing, a great lesson in living, is to take that word and place it in your thinking. You know, it's one thing to know what something says, but it's another to actually put it in your noggin and think about it and utilize it. There are a lot of things we know about. We just don't think about them, don't apply them, don't do anything with them. But the Word of God is one of those things. If we know what it says, we want to put it in our head. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, very familiar verse of Scripture. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So, once we do learn what God's Word says, then we take that Word and place it into our thinking, into our minds. The word conform there, where it says be not conformed, it's telling us not to be conformed. The word conform means to form, to fashion or shape one thing after or like another. You know, you're forming something like something else is. And what we're not to be conformed to is the world. And the world, the word for world here means age. It's not the round globe. Be not round. Although some people, I guess, they start thinking maybe I should get round, and they eat a lot. Get round. But that's not what it's talking about. It's the word for age, time period. And who runs this age time, this period of time? The devil. The devil runs the show right now in this time period in the Bible. We're not to be conformed to this age. We're not to be allow ourselves to be molded by our culture, but whatever it is that's contrary to the Word of God. And you see stuff go on all the time. Like, for instance, in our country, there has been a barrage for the last 30 years, especially the last 15 years, for marriage being whatever you want it to be. It could be two women, it could be two men. Now there's a thing I heard on radio, it's kind of funny, I almost laughed, but the guy was serious. There's a movement going on now where people marry themselves. Oh, boy. And it's considered the ultimate liberty. You know, you're not hooked up to anybody. And they sell kits on how to do it. Next they'll be protesting that it should be tax deductible, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, and we're not to allow, you know, the Word of God says that it's man and a woman. And that's that. The world tries to say, you know, it doesn't really matter what it is. So we could be, allow ourselves to be molded by that, thinking, oh, yeah, okay, it's all right. Or we can just decide, well, the Word says one thing, and that's that. We don't allow ourselves to be molded, like politically, marijuana is being accepted in states. It's now legal in a lot of places. Well, doesn't mean we have to agree with it. I mean, if it's legal, it's legal. But it doesn't mean that we have to say, oh, yeah, okay, I'll start smoking pot now. It's okay. Yeah, we know a person that lives in California, not my son, that said, okay, it's legal, I'm going to start smoking. You know, it's a believer. Like, well. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's all right. So, anyway, God says don't allow yourself to be molded by or to the fashions of this world. But, that's a big but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed means change, you know, be changed. Be changed by the renewing of your mind. We get changed by the renewing process. And the word renewing means renewal, renovation, a making other and different from that which had been formerly. when I read the word renovation, it kind of, for my thinking, struck a common chord in my thinking, because I'm involved with construction, as you know. And, you know, we do renovating at times, and it's a changing of the house. Donnie and Terry just renovated the part of their first floor. It's a different room now. Rooms, you know, they took out the old and put in new stuff, and it looks great. And people renovate their kitchens. You know, you go in there one day and it's the old cabinets, and you go in there maybe the next week and it's been renovated. And that's what God says, you know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renovating, the renewal, changing of your minds, which is pretty cool, you know. And what we do is we take out the thoughts of the world, this day and age, and change them with what God's Word says. And that's a process that will bless us. If we do that, then we will see the great benefits from God's Word. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. It's one thing to know what God's Word says, but if we don't place it into our thinking patterns and apply them, they're just going to sit there. Just going to sit there. Like, let's say you want to lose weight. This is always a big thing on the beginning of the year where the renewals, okay, I'm going to lose weight. You know, the gyms always like the beginning of the new year because they get a lot of memberships. Because people are, okay, I'm going to make a, what do they call them?
Resolution.
Resolution. Lose weight. And they buy a membership or they buy a book or they sign up or something. And if it just sits there, are you going to lose weight? No. All right, get that book on how to lose weight. But if the book doesn't get in you, you're not going to lose weight. It's, you know, we got to get it in our thinking, in our crawl. Chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Paul was a great example of placing the Word of God into his life and doing what the Word says. And by revelation, he was able to say that. You know, the things you see me hear me say, and the things you see me do, you can do those. It's pretty cool. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. That's why the Bible is more than just a literary book. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of life. It gives us life. It's not just a book. I remember years ago witnessing to some guy, I was in college, and talking about, you know, learning the Word, and he goes, oh yeah, I read the Bible, it's a great literary book. And he started talking about certain things in Psalms and certain Old Testament structure, but he had no interest in it being God's Word. It was just an exciting thing for him for learning literature. And I thought, oh, I hadn't run into somebody like that yet. So, his choice, but maybe someday some of those things will sink in. Chapter 13, we're going to start with verse 18. This is the parable of the sower and the seed. And Jesus Christ is teaching this to people and dealing with hearing the Word. Verse 18 says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. And the word understandeth there is think about it. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony grounds, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon or immediately with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dwelleth for a while, For when the tribulation or persecutions arises because of the word, by and by or immediately, he is offended. He's tripped up. He stumbles. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches cloak the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He starts, he gets excited, but then other things come up and it just chokes him. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, which also beareth witness. Well, beareth fruit. What's he do besides hearing the word?
Understands it.
Which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So this person, the fourth seed, bears fruit. And it's not just the hearing of it, but it's the understandeth. And the word understandeth, E.W. Bollinger came up with a definition I thought I'd read. He put it as to collect, apprehend, grasp, comprehend, understand, to be earnestly occupied with the subject, to reflect morally, ponder, lay to heart, implying mental activity. I think that's pretty good. Knowledge acquired by reflection and consideration. Quite a definition. Basically, it's to think about. Right? To think about it. So the fourth seed, he heard it and thought about it. You know, there was a rumbling. I always think of this scripture in terms of the, if you put a pair of sneakers in the dryer, and there's nothing else in there, and it clunk, 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 clunk. You know, it's just, you have that word of God clunking around in your thinking. You know, just clunk, 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 clunk. And that's the individual that gets to enjoy the fruit of the word. So, and that's the renewing of the mind. It's not just knowing what it says, but take that word, place it into our thinking, and apply it into our day-to-day. It's not just that once-in-a-while thought. It's a lifestyle. And lastly, we're going to go to two spots in Deuteronomy. We'll just read them quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 12. We think about that word. I made the analogy in the first thing a couple weeks ago, and about loving God, that if we had a girlfriend or a boyfriend, like just starting a date or whatever, and had an interest in the individual, probably you think about that person a lot during the day. It's not like you give them that 10 seconds in the morning, hello, you know, I'm thinking about you, I think you're wonderful, and move on for the rest of the day. It's you know, the person probably keeps coming up in your brain. Now, that happens with me for Susan still now. I mean, I think about her a lot during the day. And, because we have a relationship. But it's a thinking about God's word and placing it into our, you know, just there. So, and we're really wonderful at doing that. Chapter 12, verse 1. This is, the time period is the children of Israel are going to be moving into the promised land very shortly after this. And God's preparing Israel of what to do, what not to do, setting their thinking patterns for them. And here it says, these are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that you live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and upon every green tree. And you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And you shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. He didn't want the knowledge of those gods getting into their crawl and starting to think about, oh, the god of Moloch, Moloch, you know, what Moloch, you know, and they would start thinking about what these other gods were, because he knew it would not help them. He wanted the word in their head, not what it means to serve other gods and what those other gods are. So he was fighting for their thinking patterns. That's why he had them just burn the heck out of that stuff. Get rid of it. No consideration. Boom. And lastly, we're going back a couple chapters, chapter 6. Again, seeing how God wanted his people to just think about God's word. Chapter 6, this is part of the Ten Commandments, the issuing of the information. Verse 1, it says, Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear or love or respect the Lord thy God, to keep all his commandments, statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. Gives us a clue as to God's interest in us having a good time, you know, being things going well for us. And that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear or love the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. So he's basically saying, you know, when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed, when you're walking, when you're not walking, when you're laying down, whatever it is you're doing, think about these words and teach them and speak them. You know, the essence is, you know, this is your lifestyle. You know, we think about it. Now, I know that there are times where we are doing something and we have to physically and mentally just stay our mind on whatever it is we're concentrating on. But the heart of this whole thing is that our minds just keep going back to what God's word says and stuff, and thinking about it. Like when you leave here today, when I leave here, whenever I'm leaving, you know, does my mind, walking down those steps, does my mind go to God's word, or I just not think about it until next week? You know? But the more we place that mind and the word in our mind, and we understand these processes, but we just keep doing it. Never can get tired of doing the renewed mind. Mm. None of us get tired of breathing. I don't know, any of us have said, you know, I'm kind of tired of breathing. I'm thinking of taking an hour off. We kind of like it, you know. So we just keep putting that word on in our thinking and reminding ourselves and reminding each other. And we're really good at speaking the word to each other. We really, really, really are. And it's so helpful. Anytime we speak the word to each other, we're helping each other. So, it's good. It's really wonderful. I never get tired of teaching the same thing. I hope you don't get tired of hearing the same thing. But, you know, I like hearing Susan tell me she loves me. I've heard that for a long, long time. I have not gotten tired of it yet. I just haven't. It's just a simple thing. I don't get tired of hearing the word. And we shouldn't. It's a joy into our hearts. It's a real joy. I'll stop in a moment. Katie, I think she was in eighth grade. Uh-huh. I think it was. Because uh-huh. I used to put all the kids to bed every night. And I'd sing to them and rub their backs. So I'm putting her to bed. I don't know if she was, maybe she was eight.
I think she was eight. She was little.
Yeah, she was eight. She's in her bed and I'm rubbing her back. She goes, "Dad, you don't have to tell me you love me anymore. I know you love me. Just stop. I don't need to know it anymore. You keep saying it." I said, "Oh, okay." So I didn't say it to her for a whole month. And then one night she started crying. She goes, "Dad, I don't know if you love me. Do you love me?" You know, she just couldn't take it anymore. She, you know, her brain just got fuzzy. I said, "Of course I do." So I never stopped since. But it was quite funny. You know, she thought, "Hey, I already got this one down. I'm good." So we just keep, you know, we learn and grow, but we just keep reiterating a lot of the same great truths. You know, we get in a pickle at times. We have a devil, and we bring the word to our mind of what does God's word say concerning this, or I'm going to trust God on this, or I'm going to not fear. Like John was talking about that song with the lion's den. Daniel, I'm sure he was bringing the word of safety and the promises of God when he was being lowered into that, seeing that den and seeing those lions down there. You know, he's not going to be thinking about who won the baseball game that day. He's going to be thinking about what God's word says and going to him and thanking him for protection. I would have if I was being over there. And so, you know, it's pretty cool. So those are two things, great lessons of learning life for living, you know, to learn what God's word says, put it into our thinking so we can apply it. So.